I will talk a little about Krishna's promise also to protect his devotees. And then after this, we will have the magic show. So there are some maladetsas, some children who are most interested in the magic show, and we will give announcement when the magic show comes, and then they can come. So we will just bring a very good concentrated atmosphere by chanting the Ram mantra. It's an Agni mantra. It will bring all the disturbed. It will settle us. So please sit nicely. Deep inhale. A little bit more energetic, please. Janati mirandasya Om Janati mirandasya Jnananjala salakaya Shakshurun militam yenai Asmai Sri Gurave Nama. My dear devotees, in our afternoon session, we have learned a wonderful three-step prayer from the prayers of Queen Kunti. Do you think you can take this with you and apply it at home? And will you do it? You were not so sure. Once I gave a seminar and I said, who wants change in their lives? And everyone went up like this. I want change in my life. Then I asked the second question, and who of you wants to change? And only two hands went up. No, this is typical Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, very inconsequential, very unspiritual, very new type of beginners of spiritual life. Anyways, this is just a North German joke. It's not serious, no? So, my dear devotees, today I want to address a very important point in my katha. Throughout the Vedic scriptures and the Gita especially, there are statements of Krishna who says he protects his devotee. For instance, he says, Ananyas Chintayantumang, for my devotees, I carry what they need and maintain what they have. And he says, Konteya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, declared boldly all over the world that my devotee never perishes. Once Krishna, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when this, you could say, massive war had come to the end. Explained how he had protected the Pandavas from extinctions. He said, my relationship with the Pandavas goes a long time back. Once I visited the Pandavas at the palace of Virata. Do you know what was there in that palace? They had to live for 1 year incognito, no? At the end of their exile. So once I visited them there, and Arjuna came out of the palace. He had long hair, and he looked like a eunuch, like a woman, you know, cross gender. And Arjuna greeted me with the words that I will never forget. Arjuna at that time said, "O Keshava, you are my brother and my dear friend. Truly, you are dearer to me than anyone else in this world. I dedicate my entire life to you. No one else except you, O Krishna, can protect me." So at that time, Krishna said he felt very moved by these words of surrender. And he said, "I promised at that time that not even a single hair would fall off the head of Arjuna during the upcoming war in Kurukshetra. And I have kept my promise." My dear devotees, the Lord has given the promise to his devotees, he will protect them. Yet we see that a bomb fell in the Ukraine on the Food for Life building and killed the director, Krishna Tattva. Krishna has promised he will protect his devotees. Yet, 20 years ago, there was a plane crash and 12 brahmacharis died in the plane crash. Krishna promised to protect his devotees, yet we see that devotees like Chedi have hurt themselves and have become bound to the wheelchair for the rest of their life. Is something wrong in Krishna's promise? Once I asked Jaipataka Maharaj this question. Maybe you know that in the airport of Madrid, Jaipataka Maharaj had been attacked by a mentally disturbed person, and that person had taken a knife and cut his main vein here, the jugular vein. He had somehow put a chatter around it, Maharaj, and pressured the vein so that he wouldn't die of losing blood. Later, Maharaj had a stroke. Later, Maharaj's two lungs and two kidneys had to be replaced. And I asked him, "Jaipataka Maharaj, Krishna has said he would protect his devotee, but he didn't protect you." And Maharaj could not speak so good because of the, you know, impairment, language impairment. But what he said has stayed in my mind. There was a translator. He said, "Krishna may not always protect the body of the devotee, but he always protects the consciousness of a devotee." A real devotee who takes shelter in Krishna, when there is a test, he or she will maybe go through outer difficulty, but inside, because of taking shelter in Krishna, the devotee is in transcendental bliss. Have you heard that we are in a spiritual movement? Hare Krishna is a spiritual movement. It's not about material progress. It's not about material beauty. It's not, advancement is not making money and getting likes on internet. Advancement is in loving Krishna or being Krishna conscious. That's our goal. In Vrindavan, my dear devotees, there were demons who were falling and attacking. But Vrindavan is the land of bhava, ecstatic mood and love of Krishna consciousness. And the devotees were, despite the external difficulties, more attached to Krishna. My dear devotees, who of you has been in difficulties and has found out that it was easier for them to take shelter of Krishna? Wow! Do you raise your hand because then you get more prasadam, or do you sincerely raise your hand? This is the experience of many devotees. I was counting about 55% of you have risen their hands, because this is a different values than the material world. You can see this in the life of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti's life was hard from childhood. In the life of Queen Kunti, you can see three lives. She was born as the daughter of Maharaj Surasena, the grandfather of Krishna. Because Surasena had a deep friendship with his friend Kunti Bhoja, he had given a promise. He had said, Kunti Bhoja, if you cannot get a child due to biological reasons, I will give you my firstborn child. So Kunti Bhoja tried to have children. Maybe some of you couples know that sometimes it's not possible. So he remained childless. So Surasena kept his promise. And when his daughter was born, he arranged that she was brought to his friend. Do you know how hard it is for a child to be torn away from the breast of his mother and given into another family? Do you know how hard that is? Kamal, have you studied research? It is very hard. So after being the daughter in one family, the next life started in the other family, the family of Kunti Bhoja. Kunti adapted very nicely. There were no traumatic traces. She became a very joyful young princess. It is reported she excelled in riding horses, in galloping. When she would throw her spear, it would always hit the mark. She was very capable, and she was serving the great yogi Durvasa Muni in the palace. Durvasa Muni, who had been a guest, became so pleased that she said, Oh, child, come, I give you a mantra. By this mantra, you can call any devata you want. So Kunti like a little girl? I mean, if you have such a mantra, you want to try it. So she tried the mantra. It was a more, I can't tell you the mantra, because if you chant it, you may have the Kunti experience, you know. So Suryadev came into her room. Suryadev, the god of the sun, came, and she Kunti said, "Oh, that's very nice that you came. I just wanted to test the mantra. Now, if you wish, you could go also." And Suryadev said, "It doesn't work like this. I have to give you a child. You have called me." "A child? Me? I'm a virgin. I'm not married. Your virginity, do you know what is virginity? Will be kept in intact. Don't worry. There will be no problem." So there was a unity between Suryadev and the young Kunti Devi. And a little later, she was pregnant and had Karna, her firstborn son, who was brilliant like the sun, who had two golden earrings and a golden brilliant armor. But because at that time the society would not accept a girl who had an illegitimate, you know this word, son, Kunti, under tears in her eyes, had to give away Karna, and Karna, her firstborn son, was put in a little basket on Mother Ganga's river. Does this remind you of someone? Moses, yes. History repeats itself, no? After this, life at the court of Kunti Bhoja and encounter with the Devatas, the third life of Kunti started, and that was by far the hardest life. She was married to the king of Hastinapur, Maharaj Pandu. Right after the marriage, Pandu went for 1 year on a military campaign. He never came home to his wife. And when he finally returned, after having conquered the four directions, he said, "Kunti, I want an ascetic life. I will go in the forest. If you want, you can come along with me." Imagine, my dear ladies, the husband whom you have married will tell you, "Now let's go to Frushka Goranga in the forest and stay in the forest. We want to be an ascetic." But what's about children? What's about our future? No, we live as hermits. This world has nothing to give to us. So Kunti followed her husband to the forest, and there in the forest she gave birth to three children. I will make it a little short here. The other two children were born to Pandu, the husband of Kunti, by his second wife, Matri. Who were the first three children? The eldest, Yudhishthira, second eldest, Bhima, third eldest, Arjuna, and then Matri had two twins. Who was their names? Nakula and Sahadev. Yes. So it so happened that due to a curse, Pandu died in the forest And there were now five little children and two wives. Madri thought, asked Kunti, will you take care of my two children as if they are your own children? Yes, said Kunti, but I don't like what you asked with this question. I must do it, said Madri. And she put a funeral pyre up and followed her husband into the fire and burned. Kunti had now five children to take care of. The only thing she could remember where she could find shelter was to go back to the court, the imperial court in Hastinapur. It's described when she knocked at the gate of Hastinapur with the five brilliant sons. The emperor, who was a proxy emperor, he took care of the throne until the five Pandavas, the sons of Pandu, were old enough, felt, oh no, now the five Pandavas have come to claim their rightful throne. But I will not give it. Dhritarashtra was that brother of Pandu. I will not give it. I will give it to my sons. So the moment they came to Hastinapur, there was jealousy. There were attempts on their lives. There were all mishappenings. When Vyasadev visited Kunti, Vyasadev the great sage, on that evening where she came to the palace of the emperor of Hastinapur, he said, now the days of peace are over. The Dhritarashtra and his sons know that they should give the throne to your sons, but they will not do it. Instead, they will try to kill the Pandavas. There is no peace, not even a sesame seed of peace any longer. Eventually, she and her children were again forced to leave the town and live on alms like beggars. When they tried to make peace and return to Hastinapur, the demoniac rulers of Hastinapur took the wife of the Pandavas, what was her name? Draupadi, and tried to disrobe her in public to humiliate the Pandavas. They engaged the Pandavas in an unfair play of dice to which the Pandavas could not say no, and the Pandavas lost everything, including their freedom and their wives, and they had to go into exile in the forest. Imagine Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi had been given away as a child to Kunti Bhoja. She had married, but her husband had chosen to become a husband and live in the forest. Her husband had died and had burned. He was given a funeral with his second wife. Name was of second wife? Madri, yes. Now they had returned to Hastinapur and they were humiliated. They were looked down upon. There was constant attempts on their lives, and Kunti had to tolerate all this. It was hard, my dear devotees. However, whatever the difficult situations were, Kunti had a mysterious nephew. Who was that? Krishna. The lotus-eyed Krishna, who was the son of her elder brother Vasudev, and whenever the difficulties became very difficult, mysteriously, Krishna was appearing and smiling at her and solved the difficulties. Kunti had an idea that Krishna was God, but Krishna did everything to make her forget this. When, for instance, Krishna met Kunti, he would bow down before Kunti Devi had the chance. Kunti Devi would embrace him and put her head on Krishna's chest and cry and cry and cry, and her tears wetted the bluish chest of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna would ask Kunti for an advice. Often he would come and console her in her grief and wipe away Kunti's tears with his own chatter. It was as if Krishna wanted to receive the love of Kunti while generously bestowing her love. Now, as you all know, there was this brutal war of Kurukshetra when the two parties, the Pandavas, fought with the Kauravas, you know, the sons of the illegitimate ruler. Imagine this terrible, brutal war had finally ended. After 13 years of waiting, Queen Kunti was once again able to receive her children and embrace them to her chest. She was cradling them in her arms and speaking tender words, and her sons would cry and call her, "Mother, everything is all right. We are back." A few years ago, 13 years ago, when they had gone to the forest, Queen Kunti was so disturbed, my dear devotees, that she had followed her sons to the exile and then couldn't walk any longer. She fell in the dust and she made the floor muddy with her own tears. She could not find the strength to rise and so on. Now, her son, Yudhishthira, and his brothers were back. Safe, she could embrace them. Everything seemed to be all right. Krishna, who had helped them to win the war of Kurukshetra, was sitting on his chariot and was ready to go to his own town. What is the name of his own town, please? Dwaraka. Yes, 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 yes. However, all of a sudden, the sky began to shook. A huge brahmastra, means a weapon, came. You have perhaps seen the bombs who fell from the sky recently, there, and so on. So the terrible brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama was in the sky. It threatened to destroy the entire creation. Ashwatthama wanted to kill the surviving Pandavas and also their unborn son, who was in the womb of whom? Uttara. Yes. So imagine, this is a farewell, an affectionate ceremony. Kunti is there. She sees Krishna on the chariot, who is ready to go to Dwaraka. Now all of a sudden, a bomb rains down from the sky, which a glaring effulgence. This bomb separates into five other bombs which are going for the five Pandavas, and another one of the bomb goes where? In the direction of Uttara, to destroy the child in the womb. These are precision bombs. Modern science comes close to this, but not as close. At this moment, Krishna, on the chariot, sees these six bombs, and he immediately uses his influence to neutralize the five bombs, and he himself enters the womb of Uttara. He's sitting on the chariot, my dear devotees, but he is the super soul in everyone's heart, and he goes in the womb of Uttara, and he protects the embryo from the glaring effulgence of the sixth Brahmastra weapon. Glorious, no? See Krishna ki! Yeah, but this is a little bit. See Krishna ki! Thank you. This is how to say it. The Bhagavatam says, Brahmatejo Vinirmuktaya, Brahmatejo Vinirmuktaya, Atmajai Saha Krishnaya, Atmajai Saha Krishnaya, Prayana Bhimukam Krishnam, Prayana Bhimukam Krishnam, Idamaha Pritasati, Idamaha Pritasati. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons, and Draupadi, addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Kunti cries. For her, the problem is not the Brahmastra. For Kunti, the problem is not even the war of Kurukshetra. For Kunti, there's only one problem. Can you imagine what is that problem? The problem is Krishna is going to leave. And she feels, if Krishna is leaving, this is as tragic as if the soul leaves her body. For a pure devotee, my dear devotees, Krishna is the soul of all souls. Krishna's presence is the most desired outcome in life. When Krishna is not there, money, beauty, education, what else? Fame, a good family, is all meaningless. Just like when the soul leaves the body, even the Rolex wristwatch, and the Lamborghini before the door are becoming totally meaningless. Totally meaningless. No, you follow? No. So at this time, Kunti addresses Krishna with her beautiful prayers, of which we will hear tomorrow a few more. Krishna sat on the chariot and carefully listened to all the prayers that were composed by Kunti with bhava, with deep emotions for his glorification. Then when Kunti came to the end, Krishna did not say a word. Instead, a smile began to manifest on his lips and spread on his face. That smile was as enchanting as Krishna's mystic powers. Prabhupada comments on this smile, moha yan iva mayaya. When Kunti saw that smile of the Lord, something happened to her. She went inside their heart and she could hear the Lord saying to her in the heart, Svechi Piti Uredo, everything will be all right. My dear devotees, Krishna's answer is not always there in words. When you see Krishna on the altar, or when you close your eyes and see Krishna, and he smiles at you, this is the perfection of your life. Because with his smile, his mercy broke out and poured over her in the silence of her heart. Krishna, in other words, had not said anything, but his smile said it all. This is bhakti. You will know the Lord's answer to you. Sometimes it will come in the silence of your heart. And you know all anxieties have fallen away and you are safe in Krishna. Krishna. So tomorrow we will continue exploring the prayers of Kunti. They are extremely practical. They will give you a guideline through life. I was sometimes a little hesitant to listen to the prayers of Kunti because I thought she is a Mataji and I'm a sannyasi. What can I learn? But this is wrong. The soul in its real position, constitutional position, is female. Not the female nature, of not the femality of this world, but in her real constitution, she has that feminine quality to give pleasure, to serve, and so on. And that you don't find in this world. Even women who have the gender of women may not be always in that position because they feel exploited by the world. That is a good right to not feel like this. But in spiritual life, all souls joyfully, ecstatically take on the prakriti or the female nature, the spiritual female nature, and some of them even become servants of Srimati Radhika and are entering into this. But this is the subject matter of another discussion, which we will maybe have in 20 years when you have an interest in these subjects and move on there. But for now, by walking the path of Queen Kunti's prayers, we are learning to manifest our original nature and thus transform our false ego into our true spiritual identity. Is that a good program? Yes. How do you like the smile of Krishna? He didn't say a word, but his smile was a blessing. Who said it all? Please, all of us join. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Yes. So my dear devotees, this was our devotee katha and Krishna katha. Now, Hari Mohanji, please go and tell the children that we are ready for the magic show. Please, they can all come in the front and see so that they can decide if it is real magic or not. Manu, you can also, please feel free to come here. In Krishna's, in Vrindavan, there would always be in the evening village entertainment. That is, there would be magic show and acrobatics and so on. And I heard in one of the magical presentations of Madhuchandra, he will actually fly through the hall here. So, ladies and gentlemen, young and old, I request you to join your hands for a massive round of applause for Madhuchandra. Haribol!